So we've been following a series in prayer, and I'd like to start with a reading from Proverbs chapter 3. And when I get to that Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5, I'm sure that most of you will say the verse off by heart. It's already imbibed into you. So let me read Proverbs chapter 3, 1 to 8. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil, and this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. A few years ago, I don't know if you found that lovely book of prayers that children say. And I found a new copy recently, a new edition, and I picked out some of the prayers which I just thought were wonderful. I wanted to share with you this morning. This one I thought was great. Dear God, I went to this wedding and they were kissing right at the front. Is that okay? Love that. Dear God, are you actually invisible or is it just a trick? Dear God, did you mean for giraffes to look like that or was it an accident? Dear God, I love this. Dear God, when I grow up, I want to be just like my daddy, but with less hair. Dear God, please take care of my daddy, my mummy, my sister, brother, my dog, and me. And by the way, take care of yourself, because if anything happens to you, we're in a right mess. Fantastic words. Can I say that wherever you are on your prayer journey, wherever you are on your prayer journey, keep going. Keep going. There are some of us here who have been involved in prayer for many, many years. There are some of us here who are just starting on the prayer journey. And my hope is that this whole prayer series encourages you to keep going in your prayer life, not only individually, but as a group as well, so that when we have the opportunities to come together in prayer, we take that opportunity to come together and pray together. So wherever you are on your prayer journey, keep going, because God delights when you come to him. Our grandson is now 15 months old, and he's just learning to communicate. And half the time, I have no idea what he's trying to say. But he is so gorgeous when he tries to speak that I just love him so much. We love him so much that whatever he's trying to say, we just with him. And we just let him keep speaking. And that's how God is when he sees you trying to pray. He's not there critiquing you on what is right and what is wrong. He's just so thrilled that you're in his presence and that you've come to him. I've noticed also with our grandson that he's trying to learn a little bit about us as well. You know, he's trying to work out how we are going to open his snack cupboard so that he can have a biscuit from his snack cupboard. And so he's trying to work us out as well, what he can do. And that's exactly the same with us and God, isn't it? We try as we pray to learn more about God, and God imparts more to us. And that's exactly how God feels. Prayer is like that. As we talk to God, we learn who he is and what matters to him. So how does Proverbs 3 help us in our prayer for guidance? This is the main point. Our wise and loving God wants to get to know you, and you want to get to know him. The whole point of prayer is that the wise and loving God wants you to get to know him. Because friendship with God grows through conversation. I'm just going to turn this fan away because everything keeps moving up here. Friendship with God grows with conversation. So firstly, God is already at work around you. That is what Proverbs is all about. That God is already at work around you. If you come to Proverbs 1 to 7 and you take the opportunity to read that in the coming weeks, Proverbs 1 to 7, you'll see that Proverbs 1 to 7 isn't those sort of pithy proverbs that you expect to have in the second part of Proverbs. Proverbs 1 to 7 is conversations between a father and the son. Did you pick it up in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1? It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching." And at the start of each of the chapters in Proverbs 1, chapter 8, it says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." It's conversations between a parent and the child. And I love that picture. That's a great picture of prayer in itself. This is the voice of a loving parent saying, "I want you to live well in God's world." And that's the first thing we need to remember as we come to prayer in when we're trying to seek guidance from God. That God is already at work around us. And the father teaches his sons two key things through these first seven chapters. First of all, that wisdom brought the world together. If we take our minds right the way back to Genesis, which I love to do when I'm reading the Bible, going right the way back to Genesis, when God created the world, he created order out of disorder. He created it out of chaos. And wisdom says how he does that is with such incredible wisdom. And isn't it so that when we look round the world, when we look round our creation, we go, wow, this world has been put together in such an incredible way. Such wisdom has brought this world together. God pushed back the chaos of the world, of the pre-creation, brought in order, and Proverbs tells us that the way he did that was with such wisdom. Wisdom is the scene that goes through creation. But not only that, as a result of this wisdom, we should be in awe of God. We should have an awe of God. The way Proverbs describes it is have a fear of God. When we see how he has created the world, we should have a humility, an awe, and we should trust him because of the way he has created it. So prayer for guidance begins when we recognize that this is God's world, God is wise, but God is still active and moving in the world, and he is good. But so often we come to prayer, don't we, with, "God, I need help. Help me out now." And sure enough, he does. He wants to. But the point of prayer is that we can come to know God and experience God as we come in prayer. So God helps us, and Proverbs 3 reminds us that prayer is first and foremost about seeing God through the answers for prayer. So firstly, God is already at work around us. Secondly, God is always loving towards us in our prayers. The picture of Proverbs 3 is of a father who wants the very best for his son. Now, I totally hear that as I talk about a father. For some of us, that may not be an easy concept of a father and a son. But this picture is of a good father who gives wisdom, protection, and life. And verse 19 says, "By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. Not only did he create it with wisdom, but he created it with the purpose that we would flourish in the world. He wanted us to grow and be well. And so in verse 8, that's what these verses mean when it talks about he wants us to prosper. He wants us to have health. He wants us to do well. He says in verse 8, health to your body and nourishment to your bones is what God is wanting. He's wanting us to flourish in this wise world that he has created. That is not a guarantee of perfect health. We all know that. We've all experienced. That's why we have Bournemouth Hospital, I'm afraid. That's why we have our local GPs. Proverbs is not a guarantee of perfect health, but it is a picture of wholeness, that God wants us to have him in our whole experience, that we can know God in a very true way. Let me tell you of a pastor, a guy called Reverend Henry Blackaby. I love his book, Experiencing God. And in that book, he tells of the story of his dear daughter, Carrie, when she got cancer. And he just was brokenhearted that his dear young daughter got cancer. But he made this decision and he prayed, Lord, I don't want Carrie to go through this, but I want to say this absolutely clearly. Your love for me and your love for Carrie and your love for my family is not in doubt. You love us even through this situation. That is Proverbs 3, faith in prayer. And that reminds me of the story of Joseph in Genesis. That when Joseph was a young teenager, he was an arrogant fool. He was just stupid in the way he negotiated with his family. But through suffering, through betrayal, through slavery, through imprisonment, God shapes Joseph into a wise, humble man who can save a nation and forgive his brothers. That is Proverbs 3 at work. Joseph's life shows us an example of Proverbs 3. God is at work even when life goes in the way we don't want it to go. God's love is steadfast even when the circumstances are not. And guidance often comes as God molds our characters and forms us, not necessarily with quick answers, but as he molds us. I often look back on my own life and can see the way that God has gradually nudged me into the places that he wants me to go. And gradually as he nudges me, he works on character formation as he moves in that direction. So God wants us to call on him and call on him for wisdom. So if we can see that God is already at work around us and he is already loving to us, we then come to the key verse in verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do you see that there are three commands there? Three commands, but they're all saying the same thing. The first is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust means placing your full desire into all he wants. Pushing yourself into God. Pursuing him. When you know that God is already at work around you, when you know that he is always loving towards you, you can come to God saying, God, I am going to pursue you. I'm going to come after you until I see that you are the loving God. I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to hold on to you until I find that loving God in my situation. Pursue him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. Again, in that verse, you are taken right the way back into the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve leant on their own understanding. And what happened? we're experiencing it for the rest of history. We see what mankind does when we do not trust in the Lord with all our heart, but we lean on our own understanding. Adam and Eve, the perfect example of wanting to gain their own understanding in that situation. So there's the second one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways. Find out what God is doing and join Him in what He is doing. I was once called by the wards to come and see a patient who they described to me as a spiritualist medium. I must admit I was a bit concerned because I was told by the ward that this patient did not want to stay in a side room because they were experiencing something in that side room. But that was the only place where the patient could be. So I was in this difficult place and I was immediately overcome with concern and anxiousness about how I was going to deal with this. I felt that I was put in a position. One, how was I going to engage spiritually with somebody who was a spiritualist medium and I was a Christian? How was I going to engage with that? But also I felt there was pressure on me from the ward to make sure that the patient would stay in this room. So I could feel this sort of anxiety. And so I was meditating on this scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, Duncan, in all your ways, put your trust in Him. And I can tell you, as I was walking up the wards, I was going, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Put the armor of God on. Put the armor of God on. You know. And as I walked into the wards, there was the nurse. The nurse said to me, the patient is in that side room. So I thought, right, here goes. What am I going to encounter? Do you know, as I walked in, I was totally amazed. This lady was so sound thinking. She was so clear. And honestly, this patient had had real experiences of difficult things happened in her childhood and through her life. She had experienced these unusual experiences. She was not a spiritualist medium. But as I sat down with her, she was genuinely frightened. So I said to her, look, I want to be honest with you. I'm a Christian. Okay, so I'm going to come at this from a Christian point of view. I believe that Jesus is Lord in every situation. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, she said. Yes, yes. I said, all right, great. Phew. And so I said to her, look, I have a holding cross with me. Would you take this holding cross and would you hold it? And I often say this to patients when we have jeans cushions or holding crosses. And I say, will you hold this cross? And every time you hold this cross, will you know that Jesus is holding you? Oh, she grabbed hold of it and she held it to her and she held it there. She held it there. So I said, look, I'm going to take this seriously and I'm going to pray in this room. I'm going to pray all the way around this room and pray that you will have a peaceful night's sleep and you do not need to worry about what you're experiencing. So we prayed in the room and I just prayed blessing upon that room. And at the end, the lady was in floods of tears. She was in floods of tears. She said, I have never experienced anything like that. And she was holding onto the cross. Now I said, look, I've got to go. Can I leave you by, can you take your iPad and get hymns playing on your iPad? Can you play hymns all night, if necessary, on your iPad? And that's what she did. I left her with iPad. And I went back the next morning, and I went back this morning, and this lady was full of it. She was full of what God had done. Now, because it was first thing in the morning, I didn't take anything further. And my hope was to go back and see this person in the afternoon. And she was discharged. I didn't get to see her again. But I know that she still had the cross. And I'm still praying that God will come and do more in her life than I experienced in just encountering her for that moment. And as I trusted in the Lord with all my heart, and then not on my own understanding, my natural reaction was, I don't want to do this. I don't quite want to do this. But as I walked in, I could see that the Lord was already at work around me. And I was just walking into what God was already doing. And it was just a wonderful experience to see how God was working in this lady's life. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. That does not mean he will make your path easy, but he will make your path clear, and you will know how to go forward. Now, can I give you just one tip about prayer? This is what I was hoping from our prayer series, that we could give not only encouragement to keep going in prayer, but a tip in praying as you engage in prayer. And my tip is this: write down when you believe God is speaking to you. Write it down. This is one of my prayer journals. It says on there, I'm really busy. I don't know why it's there. I just picked up. I would suggest get an exercise book and write down what you sense God is saying. I was reading a book by Pete Cree during the week on prayer, and he says actually he didn't write many things. He drew a lot of things. And Jeannie, do you mind if I use your example that you shared with me? Jeannie says that when she goes for walks, if she finds a twig or something like that, she picks that up, and I would describe it almost like a scrapbook. Can I describe it that way? And you just put things in that later, when you have got through the decision or through the time, you can go back and see what God has been saying through it. And so when I'm coming to a decision, when I'm coming to each situation, I write down the situation. I write down the decisions that I have to face, and I write down the scriptures that I encounter as I go through that. Nikki Gumbel calls that commanding scripture. Commanding scripture. I also find out what I sense God is saying. Nikki Gumbel calls that the compelling spirit guiding us through. And also I listen to what other people are sharing with me, what they think is a good idea. And Nikki Gumbel calls that the Council of Saints. Compelling spirit, commanding scripture, and the Council of Saints. And then when I write that down, I look, is this my desire? Is this what I want to do? Or do I sense this is what God wants to do in this situation? And now it's written down, I can look at it. It's objective, it's outside of my head, and it's on a piece of paper. Writing it down gives me that encouragement to look back in years later. And I've got about 15 of these books, exercise books. Paulie and I had to do a major clear out in our garage recently, and we decided that, you know, we would get rid of the other ones. Why have them around? So I've still got this one, and now I tend to journal more on my phone than in a book. I write it down or capture Bible verses, and I put it all on my phone, on an app on the phone. So that's my tip on keeping going. So let's come down to land. What is our conclusion? This verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What it's trying to say is, you've got a choice. This is over to you. What are you going to do? Are you going to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding? You're taken straight back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were given the choice. What are they going to do? They chose the wrong choice. This is your choice. This is the point where you come to the decisions that you're facing at the moment. And God is saying to you this morning, are you going to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Are you going to do it? So I thought, as we come down to land, let's just have a moment of prayer. Let's quietly lift those decisions that we have into God's hands and say, Lord, I'm in that place. I'm in that place where I've got to make key decisions and I need to hand it over to you. So as we come down to land, let's close our eyes and let's let God speak into those situations. And as we picture those decisions that we need to make, as we picture them, in your mind's eye, speak those words, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust him. Lean on him. He is a father. He is wise. He loves you. He wants to counsel you. Trust him. As we draw our time together to a close, if you want further prayer, I will, Pauline and myself will be over in the prayer area at the back. If you've got a situation that you would like someone else to pray with you, then please come to us and we would love to pray with you that you can trust God in the particular situation that you are.